Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We are in for a great blessing here at Second Mile today. We're going to begin our service with a Gideon speaker. And most of you all know who the Gideons are. And they're all about the Word of God and getting God's Word out. And I don't want to take up steal any of his thunder or take up his time. But we're going to give Brother Greg Lane was with us last year. How many of you were here last year for the Gideon message? Amen. A lot of you. So we're going to give him the first 10 minutes of the service. And I want you all, this is an opportunity Second Mile Church has to partner with the Gideons, and they're all about getting God's Word all over the world. Not just here, but all over the world. So, y'all welcome. Give Brother Greg Lane a nice welcome.
The man was not very big, not very strong, not very handsome, not very articulate. You would not pick him out on the street and say, hey, that's somebody special. But as many of y'all might remember from the national news, just 4 weeks ago, on June the 25th, 2019, in a special White House ceremony, President Donald J. Trump, our Commander-in-Chief, presented to David Bellavia the Medal of Honor for conspicuous gallantry above and beyond the call of duty with intrepidity at the risk of his life in November of 2004 in the Battle of Fallujah in Operation Phantom Fury. David Bellavia, an infantry staff sergeant and a squad leader, was in the fighting there in Fallujah whenever his squad was pinned down by enemy fire from a building. He ran into that building by himself in the dark to take out the enemy and prevent his squad from being wiped out. In the process, he killed or wounded every enemy in that building, including one in hand-to-hand combat with a knife. David Bellavia, again, is a guy you wouldn't pick out of a crowd, but now whenever people see him and they point and say, David Bellavia is a special guy, and he's a great American. In 1899, there were three men that met in Janesville, Wisconsin. There was nothing special about them, nothing that really stuck out to where you'd say, those guys are special, they're up to something. But those three men had on their hearts to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ forward. They had an idea of placing a copy of God's Word in every hotel room across America, there to where people traveling would have an opportunity to see God's Word and to read it, to fellowship, or if they didn't know Christ, to get to know Him. Those three men met, prayed, and formed an organization called the Gideons. 120 years later, I'm here as a representative, and as Cal Hampton so kindly introduced us, my name is Greg Lane, and I'm with the Gideons. My pair partner, Ben Owen, with Gideon also here, and we're with the Clarksville South Camp of the Gideons here locally. The Gideons' mission is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ through personal witnessing and through distribution of copies of His Word. It can be a small testament, like one of these, handed out individually, or it can be a full-size Bible in a doctor's or dentist's office, in a lawyer's office, CPA's office, and these copies of God's Word we put out in the highways and byways of life to where people have an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In the Gideons, we believe that the Lord's Word is still true and that Isaiah 55, 10, and 11 tells us that as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return void without accomplishing the purposes for which they're intended, God's Word goes out and it accomplishes the purposes for which He intends it. And we believe God's Word has power. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of your heart and mind. So we believe that God's Word has power to it, and it hits hard in people's lives. It brings comfort, it brings conviction, and it brings salvation. Now, in that, we have 258,000 men and women in the Gideons worldwide, of which we too are representing in front of you today. We're in 199 countries across the world. We hand out copies of God's Word in 107 languages. We believe in Acts 1:8 that we're to take the gospel forth in Jerusalem, that's right here in Clarksville, Judea, that's the state of Tennessee, for those of us Tennesseans, Samaria, the United States, and across the world. Now, what does that look like? Well, here in Clarksville, Tennessee, many of y'all know that we are out there at high school graduations at the Dunn Center in May, handing out testaments to high school graduates and anybody that asks for them. We did that this last May. What does that look like here in the state of Tennessee? In Knoxville, my wife's hometown, we were handing out thousands of copies of God's Word last October, yes, to include even at the home of the beloved Big Orange, the University of Tennessee. Go Big Orange. My apologies to Alabama and Auburn fans. Okay, moving right along. In addition to that, what does that look like in the United States? Last year in the United States, we placed or handed out 9 million copies of God's Word across our country. And worldwide last year, we handed out almost 70 million copies of God's Word. Now, gang, as Brother Cal said to you, we're an extension arm of your church. We partner with local churches that support the Gideons like Second Mile. And we thank you for your support, because what you gave last year helped buy those testaments that went out there at the high school graduations there. And this year we had the largest number ever at Austin Peay. There were 14 high schools that graduated at the Dunn Center from our county, Fort Campbell High, and the surrounding area. Now, gang, we are church members just like you, and the churches that partner with the Gideons, we're an extension arm of your church. We're part of your missions outreach to this community and across the world. I would ask you to do three things for the Gideons. Number one, first off, pray for us. We are men and women, sinners saved by grace, just like everybody in this room. Please pray that we would be faithful to the call of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second thing that you can do is, if you see a Gideon in action, you're at one of those graduations, you see a Gideon handing out a testament, or you see someone going in and checking hotel Bibles, take a minute and stop and thank them. It'll mean more than you know, and I speak from personal experience on that. That means a lot. A third thing that you can do is, you're going to have an opportunity to give here later in the service, and Brother Cal will talk to you about that. Whenever you give to the Gideons, we are unique among charitable organizations. Every penny of every dollar you give buys Scripture. $5 buys one of these. $1.25 buys one of these. The money that you give covers Scripture. We, the members, through our dues, we pay for the staff. We pay for the headquarters in Nashville. We pay for their travel. No administrative costs come out of what you give. Your giving buys Bibles, period. In addition to that, we also have, and some of you may be familiar with them, you see them at funeral homes, you see them around Gideon cards, where you can give a Gideon card if someone gets promoted or graduates, or if someone passes away, you can give Bibles in their memory. So the Gideon card program is another way that you can give, and give a gift that keeps on giving. One last note that I'll give to you here. The Gideons, in our 120-year history, the Lord's really blessed us. My wife's grandfather, who's now deceased, there served in World War II and was a colonel. This is the testament that the Gideons provided to him. President Roosevelt, if you can believe this, actually signed an executive order encouraging the distribution of copies of God's Word into the U.S. military as they went overseas to fight and win World War II. Gang, wouldn't it be awesome if we had that today? So I want to leave that thought with you as part of our heritage. Brother Cal, Diane, I want to thank y'all for this opportunity to be here today. I want to thank you for this opportunity. And it's wonderful to see so many familiar faces, kind of like a little bit of a reunion for us here. So it's great to be here. May the Lord continue to bless the work here at Second Mile Church that y'all are doing and the awesome things you're involved in. May the Lord continue to bless the work of the Gideons. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Greg. This is Gideon Sunday, and I brought my Gideon Bible with me. Y'all see this? This was one of the special Bibles that was printed at the 100th anniversary of the Gideons, and it was given to me by Brother Ken Speakman, who was one of the, I don't know what his title was for the Gideons, president of the Gideon ministry. And so this Bible is very special to me, and And some of you King James guys are really going to like it because it's a King James Bible. Somebody say amen. Amen. I normally preach out of the New King James Bible because it doesn't have all the whithersoeverest and all of that. But anyways, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2 and verse 13 this morning. I love the Bible. I really do. You say, well, Brother Cal, we're not supposed to worship the Bible. No. I worship the God of the Word. But you can't hardly separate the Word of God from the God of the Word. Jesus is called the living Word. And this is His written Word. So you got something real special in front of you if you've got a Bible today. Now, you may have God's Word on an iPad today or an iPhone or a tablet or something of that nature. But I want to tell you, there's something special about the Word of God. My Bible is one of the most precious possessions, one of my most prized possessions that I have. And I take it with me just about everywhere I go. And you know why that is? Because my Bible's like Bayer aspirin. It works miracles. My Bible's like Coca-Cola. It's the real thing. That's right. It's like a Ford truck. It's tested tough. Here's one of my favorites. My Bible's like Delta Airlines. It's ready when you are. My Bible's like General Electric. It brings good things to life. Amen? This one's really dated. My Bible's like VO5 hairspray. It holds in all kinds of weather. My Bible's like an American Express card. You don't leave home without it. Amen. And bless God, my Bible's like Dial soap. Don't you wish everyone used it? One of the earliest songs, Kaya, that I learned was a song called the B-I-B-L-E. How many of y'all remember that song? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand. Yes. And I want to tell you, the Word of God is still the book for me. And I'm standing on the Word of God. You know, there's not another book like your Bible. There's not. The Bible contains 66 books. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, and it was written over a period of about 1,500 years by 40 different authors. And yet, your Bible and mine has one message, and here it is. Jesus saves. God wants to be in relationship with His people in order that they might bring Him glory. That's the message. There's no other book quite like it, and it's still, Brother Greg, the best seller today. There's not one even close to it. And I wonder this morning, Second Mile Church, if it's the most read book. It ought to be. Somebody shout amen. So if you have a copy of God's Word, would you stand one more time? I know we've been up and down like pogo sticks today, but let's honor God's Word one more time by standing to our feet. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. For this cause, also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Craig Nelson, ask God to just bless His Word today, would you? Amen. Thank you, my brother. Please be seated. We've got a real simple little outline for you, sweet. Short message today. I thought somebody would go to dancing in here when I said that. Anyways, the Bible, first of all, is a saving book. The Bible is a saving book. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, the Scripture here says in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Why? Because when you received the Word of God, the Bible is a saving book. Greg quoted Hebrews 4:12 this morning for you, and that I want to quote it again for you because that verse says that the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible contains, not just contains salvation, it brings the, well, let me put it like this. First of all, the Bible convicts us. You know, the Bible, y'all, is the only book. You can get it out and you can read it. And while you're reading it, it's reading you. The Bible shines its light. When you're reading it or when you're hearing it, deep down into the recesses of our soul, and it shines the light on those dark areas in our life. And it convicts us of sin. How many times this week I've been reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, God will speak to my heart about some issue He's not happy with. The Bible is a saving book. It convicts us over and over again. The Bible reads us. It's a saving book. Not another book like it. But listen, but once the Bible convicts you, the Bible will also convert you. Say the word convert. That means salvation. Listen to these words over in 1 Peter. Fabulous verse of Scripture. Verse 23. 1 Peter 1:23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth," till next week, "forever." I'm going to tell you what, the Word of God, folks, is going to be around forever. And it has words of salvation in it. It is a saving book. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot be saved apart from the Word of God. That's why the Gideons are trying to get the Word of God out. Not just in Clarksville, not just in the state of Tennessee, not just in North America, but all over the world. The Bible is a saving book. And you know, can I just share something kind of secretive with you? There have been many times in the pulpit, and I'll be preaching, and y'all, there'll be times, I'm just saying to my, I can't get to amen quick enough today. I am messing up here. This is a mess. I've just totally messed this passage of Scripture up, and the people are thinking about what they're going to be eating for lunch and blah, 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 and they're a million miles away, half the church is asleep, and you know, I just can't get done. And then all of a sudden, during the time of response, during the time, some old sinner will have been convicted by the Word of God and converted by the Word of God in their very seat, and here they come. There is nothing like the Word of God. It convicts us. It converts us. You know the passage of Scripture that converted me? Brother Greg, we were down at Montgomery Bell State Park at church camp. Almost 53 years ago. And Dr. John David Lida was down on the dock there by that little lake that Friday evening. He was preaching on the prodigal son. And for the first time in my life, I realized that I was a sinner, separated from God's love and God's grace. Whew. The Word of God converts us. It's a saving book. But now, that's why the Gideons, again, are trying to get the Bible out all over the world, because it has saving words in it. And then once the Bible convicts us and converts us, it cleanses us. Thank God y'all took a bath today. Don't you feel good after you've been cleaned? Yes. Well, do y'all feel good after you take a shower and a bath? All right. The Word, y'all, just some of y'all were looking at, what is he talking about?
The Word of God cleanses us. John 15:3, Jesus said, "Now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you." The Bible, you can have unbroken fellowship with the Lord once God cleans you up with the washing of His Word. It's a saving book. But now, before we leave this point, I want y'all to get this. He said that the Word of God there in in 1 Thessalonians, verse 13, he says, because when you received the Word of God, you see, the Word of God has to be received. It has to be not just heard, not just talked about, not just read, not just preached, not just kept. It has to be received. Now, there's some special things for little girls who sit on the front row at Brother Cal's church. Now, Kaya, now this is just a dollar bill, Jay, so don't worry too much about this. I wouldn't give her a 20, all right? But, well, I might. When does this dollar bill become yours? When I give it to you or when you take it? When is it yours? Is it mine? Who's got it right now? I do. So it's still mine, right? When does it become yours? When I give it to you or when you put it in your hand? Is it yours now? I can't have it back, can I? It's yours, that's right. That's the way it is with salvation. That's the way it is with God's Word. It has to be received. Aren't you thankful today that the Bible is a saving book? Come on, y'all. Aren't you thankful for that? Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Woo, but there's more here, Greg. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard. The Bible's not only a saving book, it's a shared book. It's to be shared with people, which you heard from us. In John's Gospel, John 20 and verse 31, the Scripture says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. The Bible, the Word of God, is to be shared. Why in the world are the Gideons trying to get the Word of God down on the Amazon River? Over in Africa? Over in the mountains of China? Because it's to be shared. We're to share the Word of God. I think I've mentioned this before. It's awful. It would be unfathomable for someone to have the cure for cancer and keep it to themselves. Would it not? Well, bless God, we've got the cure for sin and death, and for us to keep it to ourselves? No. The Bible is to be a shared book. We need to share the Word of God with our family. We need to share the Word of God with our neighbors, with our classmates. We need to share the Word of God with our co-workers. We ought to be sharing the Word of God with everyone. Amen? The Bible is meant to be a shared book. And that's why we're helping the Gideon ministry out today, because they're going to share the Word of God all over the planet. Amen? It's to be a shared book. But the Word of God is also a sacred book. Look what he says again. He says, because when you receive the Word of God, that's the saving book, and then the shared book, which you heard of us, you received it. And that word there literally means to be welcomed. To be welcomed, to receive it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. This book doesn't just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. The Bible is the literal, infallible, inerrant, inspired, authoritative Word of God. It is the sole authority for our belief and practice. Now, I love this verse of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:6. You notice how much Scripture I'm quoting and talking about? You can't hide God's Word in your heart enough. You can't read God's Word enough. I love this brother over here. Every single Sunday in Bible study and in Sunday school, what does he tell us that we need to be doing? That's right. We need the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture. Not just the New Testament. Not just the Old Testament. Not just the Gospel of John. All Scripture is inspired by God. And that word inspired is a very interesting word. It's the Greek word theopneustos, which means God breathed. Theos meaning God. Pneuo meaning spirit, wind, or breath. The Bible is God breathed. Every word in it is inspired by God. And y'all, when you read your Bible, it's amazing. Every time God breathes, someone or something comes to life. Over there in Genesis chapter 1, God breathed. And old Adam sprang to life. And then over there in the valley of old dead dry bones, remember Ezekiel's valley? God breathed again, and a valley of dead dry bones sprang to life. You read over there in Acts chapter 2, God breathed again, and the church sprang to life. And then over there in I believe it was 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says that God breathed on holy men of God, apostles and prophets, and breathed His Word, and the Word of God sprang to life. You have in your hands today the infallible, you can count on it. It'll hold up. It'll stand. You can lean on it. You can take your stand on it. That's what infallible means. And it's inerrant. It's perfect because God's perfect. If there were any mistakes or any errors in the Bible, brothers and sisters, you couldn't trust it. There's not any errors in the Bible. There's not. Because God's perfect. I'm just reading some faces right now. Not looking for any arguments today. I just came here to tell you, you can count on God's Word. It's inerrant, it's infallible, it's inspired. It is the very Word of God. 3,000 times just in your New Testament, the Word of God shouts, it's the Word of the Lord. 3,000 times. No errors in it. God spoke long ago to the apostles and the prophets, and He breathed His Word, and they spoke God's Word, and bless God, they recorded it, and you still got it in your hands today. Give God praise today. Hallelujah. And by the way, Jesus had a very high view of Scripture. Did you know that? You remember after His baptism, He was tempted by the devil, and He had been fasting and praying for 40 days, and the old devil said, He showed up. And by the way, y'all, the devil's going to show up when you're weak. Not when you're strong. He said, I know you're hungry. Now this is the Cal Hampton Standard Version, okay? I know you're hungry. There's some stones down there. I know you can do this. Just turn those stones into bread. And you remember what Jesus said? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible is such a sacred book. It has the very Word of God for your life and mine. There's one final thing I want to get across to you today. You see the latter part of verse 13 in 1 Thessalonians 1, it says, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I've said all of that to say this. The Bible is a special book. It is a special, special book. Psalm 119, 105 was one of the earliest verses I learned. I was in, what did they used to call that? Sunbeams. Anybody else old as I am in here remember sunbeams? Well, I remember learning Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is special because it guides us. It reveals God's will for us and God's direction for us. The Word of God has given me such wonderful guidance in my life. Y'all know, every single time in my life that I've had a huge decision to make, I've asked God for some Scripture. And every time He's given me some Scripture. You know why I've done that? Because I want to be sure I'm doing what God wants me to do. And when he speaks, that's it. When he shares the Word of God with you and He gives you guidance, how many of you know God's got a better plan for your life than you do? right? He just does. His ways are infinite. Our ways are finite. He has all knowledge. We've got limited knowledge. You see, God's working on a far different sphere than we are. Amen? And so He'll give you direction for your life. Some of you right now today, you're facing an uncertain future. You don't know what to do about something. Can I just give you a little bit, just a little bitty small piece of advice? Just ask God to give you a word. Ask God to give you some scripture. And He'll do it. Now, in order for God to give you a word, guess what you got to do? You got to get in the Word. I'm, y'all know how emotional I am. I'm probably going to get in trouble here. But I would be Pentecostal for just a little bit. If it wasn't for their doctrine, I would be. And God knows, I've never heard an audible voice from heaven. Because I'm so emotional, He knows I probably couldn't handle that. But God speaks to me every time I open this book. And if you want to hear from God, get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Is that how you say it, Billy? Get in the Word of God. He's got a personal way of saying it. But it gives us direction. It guides us. And God's Word also guards us. Let me finish that 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. Four things. Teaching, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. Four things. Now the Bible's good for a lot more than those four things, but Timothy reveals to us that God's Word will tell you what's right. Do we live in a day and time when we need to know what's right? My goodness. If you want to know what's right, get in the Word of God. It'll tell you what is right. It'll give you the teaching that you need, the doctrine that you need. But the Bible not only tells you what is right, it tells you what's not right. That's what reproof means. What's not right. And do we live in a day and time when we need to know what's not right? Yes. And the Bible tells you what's not right. And then the Bible, it says it's good, it's profitable for correction. The Bible tells you how to get right. Are y'all with me? The Bible tells you how to get right. And in this training in righteousness, the Bible will tell you how to stay right. What is right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. No wonder it's the bestseller today. Hallelujah, what a special book the Bible is. Glory to His name. But there's one final thing. It not only guides us and guards us, it gladdens us. Now, here's a good word for some of you shouting and doubting Baptists. Listen to this. This is 1 John. Chapter 5 and verse 13. These things, John says, in 1 John 5, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. How many of y'all have believed on the Son of God? My goodness. Only half of you? Well, if you have believed on the Son of God, some of y'all wouldn't throw your hand up because you're afraid they might call you something else. There's no danger in this church being Pentecostal, okay? You don't ever have to worry about that. Somebody smile, all right? Let's get over this. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know. K-N-O-W. That you may know that you have eternal life. How long is eternal life? Forever. It's not temporary. And if you have believed on and in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. Now, tomorrow, and forever. That gladdens my heart today. I want to jump up and down and can't jump anymore. Glory to His name. And I like what Jesus said in John 10. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And you know what they do? They follow me. I give to them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one's able to snatch them out of my hand. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Thank you. God bless us today. Eternal life. Now, hear what I'm saying. God's not going to bless you if you're not being obedient to what His Word says. And I want to tell you, if you're truly born again, I believe you're born again forever. Because that's what the Bible teaches. But if you're in sin, God's going to take you to the woodshed, and I've been there, and it's not any fun. And there are some times, and there's people in the Bible, God just, they tore their testimony up so bad, God just had to take them out of here. And I know some men like that. But it gladdens my heart to know that once I've been born again from above, once I've been saved, once I've become a believer, once God has come to take up residence in my heart and life, He's never going to leave me. He's always with me. And if that's your testimony today, it ought to make you a shouting believer, not a doubting believer. Well, the Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The Bible. What about this book? Have you received this Word? Have you been saved by the Word of God? My Bible tells me all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, separation. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God commended toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For you see, it is by grace you have been saved. Through faith. Not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And my Bible tells me if you'd be willing to confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on Jesus to save you? Have you done so? If you haven't done so, you need to do so right now. So that you can K-N-O-W know that you've been born again by the Spirit of Almighty God, through the Word of God, and placing your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. That's the gospel. And God will save anybody who'll come to Him His way. I know through personal testimony, if God will save Cal Hampton, He will save anybody. Would you bow your head with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I just want to ask you today, do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe God's Word and what it says? Secondly, I want to ask you, have you trusted God's Word to save you? Have you called on Jesus to save you? If you've done that, would you just slip your hand up there and wave it at the Lord? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've done that, you say, I'm saved. Just slip your hand up in the air. Nobody's looking around. Only the Spirit of God is here. All right. Put those hands down. If you have not done so and truly been saved and born again, would you be bold enough to slip your hand up in the air? Just wave it at me. Say, I need to be saved today. I need to receive God's Word. Anybody? Any hand? Anybody going up? I need to be saved today, Pastor. All right, by your own admission, you've been born again. And here's what you need to do. Here's what I need to do. You need to get in the Word of God. believe the Word of God, and obey the Word of God. Lord, there are people here today, and we need to be obedient followers of Jesus Christ. And I believe there's things in our life today that aren't right, and we know it. And we need to get those issues right with you right here, right now, today. So God, in the quietness of this moment, we pour our hearts out to you and ask you to forgive us. We forsake our sin, plead the blood of Jesus over every sin. We receive your cleansing power. Thank you for forgiveness. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Our altar is always open here every Sunday for confession, for repentance, for prayer, for intercession, for whatever you need to do. It's always open. We'll pray with you. You've got to step out and come. Let's all stand and sing this great old hymn.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.